The James Golden Show. It's politics, but theater of the mind with James Golden, a.k.a. Bo's Nerdly.
Talking heads bring us back.
I can't seem to face up to the
psycho killer.
I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep because my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est?
A chance to welcome in my good friend and the resident historian of the James Golden Show, Dean Karyanis. Folks, Dean is a part of the Rush Limbaugh Brain Trust. He is was for many years a web producer with Rush. He also is a very distinguished author. He runs a website called historyauthor.com, and he is steeped in history, but he is also an author of a great book on Greek cuisine. He and his wife, just an all-around great guy. Dean Karyanis, our resident historian, welcome. How are you this morning?
I am great, James. And qu'est-ce que c'est? I guess this is the only French that many of us knew growing up in the 80s. But that's a great song to bump in with. Talk about Christy Noem. 1977 by the Talking Heads. And by the way, not related or inspired by the Son of Sam killings, which is an assumption a lot of people always make.
Uh-huh. Son of Sam, as we get ready to talk about Christy Noem. Let's do this, Dean, because you wrote an article. You wrote an article about Christy Noem. Her campaign has been dogged for the past week. A very, very rough week for Christy Noem. And full disclosure, by the way, get them out now. Full disclosure, I wrote a blurb for that, for her book, this book that's being widely discussed. So, in fact, The Guardian sent a reporter out to try to get me to comment on it. It's like, nah, I ain't going to say anything to The Guardian. We'll get to that. But before we get to the story that has dogged Christy Noem, let's listen to one of our favorites, shall we? Serpent Head. Serpent Head weighed in on Christy Noem. He did a long rant on just, we played his rant earlier on American young people, calling them all kind of MFs, et cetera, telling them to get out and vote. And then he went on to talk about Christy Noem. This is what Serpent Head, James Carville, had to say about Christy.
So Christy Noem wrote in a book, she thought about this, that she shot a 14-year-old puppy. So you ask yourself, why did she do that? Well, there were two reasons. Number one, I mean, she and Corey Lewandowski, living in open, notorious, and flagrant concubinage. But she put that in there because Corey told her, this will really help with Trump if you shoot a dog. And it'll really help with the Republican base. Because if you're not willing to shoot a dog, then you're not willing to shoot a migrant.
What?
All right? So this is where our country is. We have a lawless, illegitimate Supreme Court. We have a political party that values 14-year-old puppy shooting. And then we have people saying, I'm just not into this election, James. I think we're both too old and they're not speaking to the issues that address me. Oh, really? You're full of shit. Go look at what's going on around you. And by the way, take a whiff. And you know what you'll smell? You'll smell a Giuliani Trump shit. So I will see you next week.
Take these words, you, James. Listen,
to heart.
Serpent Head.
And get these damn people motivated.
Number one, let's talk about that. Serpent Head. Dean, let's just talk about Serpent Head for a minute. Dean, Serpent Head said, first of all, Dean, Serpent Head said that Christy Noem shot a 14-year-old puppy. I got one question for you, Dean Karyanis. How are you going to have a puppy that's 14 years old? 14 year old?
Months.
14,
yeah. 14 months. 14
year 14 old
months
dog ain't no puppy.
Dog. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and they were also, they were the second chance for this dog. And just so people know a little of my background beyond my column here in the New York Sun, which you can all go and read and should go and read at mysun.com. But I was a veterinary technician for many years until I landed my dream job with all of you at Rush Limbaugh, the television show. I worked at the Animal Medical Center, which maybe some people are listening there right now at East 67th Street, right by that FDR Drive exit. And my take was a little different here, and not just because of that veterinary background, but because of the idea that we have to do that in the veterinary business. That's one reason I didn't want to be in it anymore. If she takes this dog down to a veterinarian and they do it behind closed doors, that's fine. And people throw away literally animals so often. And I felt like if more people had to do it hands-on, maybe they wouldn't breed animals all over the place. Maybe they wouldn't just say, well, we call it the euthanasia season around the holidays because so many people bring in their dogs and cats. They're old. They don't want them around being incontinent, tripping around, snarling at people during the holidays, whatever it might be. And so that's something I thought of here. Plus, I remember the Rush lesson. You know, I recoil when everybody's going after one person and saying, throw them away. So I don't think I got to your question there, but I was just chomping at the bit, so to speak, to get at that.
Well, I want to talk about that for a minute. First of all, I had never heard that phrase before, the euthanasia season. Secondly, to your point and what you addressed in this column, this idea that, look, folks, this happens every single day. The dog was, Christy Noem says, the dog was dangerous. The dog, the puppy, had already been killing other animals. And look, when you see this all the time with cats, when cats go out on a killing spree with birds, people get upset. They're talking about, okay, we can't have this. Put the cat down. You see this in, you see this with game wardens around the country where an animal is killing, they can't stop it. And then, and so what do? They put the animal down because the animal has apparently cannot be corrected from that behavior. So you
especially
think
if it basically learns a taste.
What's that?
Especially if it learns a taste for human beings, or they always say, or starts attacking other animals, loses its fear of humans. That's for wild animals. But go ahead.
Yeah. So is what Christy Noem did here something that, look, there is a story today, Dean, that Christy Noem was supposed to be at a Colorado fundraiser. Washington Examiner has the story. Noem's Colorado fundraiser has been canceled because now she's being threatened over the deadly dog story.
Yeah,
so do you think she's got? Is she? So are we seeing the palinization of Christy Noem? Sarah Palin was mercilessly taken down by the mainstream press. Are we seeing the same thing with Christy Noem?
It's funny, but not surprising that you bring that up, because I thought of that dinner party Rush had one time. And he said, I had to walk out of my own dinner party because many people there, names that will be familiar here to the audience, but it's not for me to name them. But he said, people were saying, well, she's done, Rush. We just got to get rid of her. We got to throw her away. Palin is finished. And he said, they say that about every single one of our people. Well, Trump is done. Sorry, he that tape, that's it. We got to somehow get rid of him, whoever it is. And not that there aren't some Republicans you do want to get rid of, but every single one, they're going to come back again. And I think that's why people are drawn to Trump and people don't understand his appeal. He could very likely be more likely to pick Christy Noem now because of this story. He likes someone who doesn't back down. And he has made a career now in politics of doing the thing that other people tell him you cannot do. You can't possibly pick this woman now. All the smart people like Serpenthead there say, and the great thing about that nickname is his wife calls him that, right?
Mary Madeline calls him Serpenthead.
But I think that she may be even more likely to pick her. And I just think, I'm not for people going around and shooting dogs, but it bugs me that I know people in shelters, and to tell you the truth, none of them are ever quite right that end up doing 30, 40 animals a day, perfectly healthy. I had them come into the Animal Medical Center, other hospitals I worked at, and you would say, this is a perfectly healthy cat or dog. Well, I'm moving away. And even when you offered to adopt them, they would say, no, no, no. And they would ask you things like, are you doing medical experiments on them? I remember this one very haggard, had been working all day to ease animal suffering there at the AMC. And she said to me afterwards, as if I have nothing better to do, lady, than do medical experiments on your 17-year-old cat that I've been trying to save here for 2 months when it's at the end of its life. And I just think if there's a teachable moment from this, it's the politics of it and not going along with it, but it's also understanding how really society, which sounds like a very, very, I don't know, erudite thing to say, right, society. But people treat animals like this all the time and take them in. And I think if more people had to be there instead of pawning it off on somebody like my former colleagues there at the Animal Medical Center, that there would be less of that, more respect for animals, which tells me most people don't understand really how life on a farm works, how rural life works, and they don't care really about that. And they just see a chance to get at this woman, and I just naturally recoil at that. And I wouldn't defend it if it was cruel. She didn't just go stalk an animal, which they're trying to make it sound like, or like Tommy Vitor, Obama's former, I guess, spokesman he was, and said, compared her to Jeffrey Dahmer. And for somebody who worked for President Obama, who, by the way, ate dog meat when he was back home in Indonesia, which people don't like to mention. This is a cultural thing. We say, well, okay, that's not a big deal. He was young. They served him as he chose to eat it.
There you go. Dean. You just had to bring up that Obama used to dine on dog meat. Well, at least once.
Yeah, well, you know, who hasn't had a little schnauzer schnitzel? But you go and you say, okay, well, that's cultural. That's part of that culture. And that's true in much of the world. Millions of, unfortunately, from our view, dogs. But then you say, well, what about the Dakotas? Now, Theodore Roosevelt had a similar story where a dog kept attacking him and his horse when he was on horseback, and he shot the dog. I just think people are so removed from that way of life, so likely in the major media centers to condescend to people in rural America where, unfortunately, something like Old Yeller, that used to be standard, right? The boy has to go out and say, I'll take care of him, Pop, and it is horrible. And she's not gleeful over this. I'm sure, you know, a guy like James Carville, who's clearly so frustrated because he sees horrible campaigning going on and he knows what he's doing, is totally uncorked himself and gone over the top and tried to make these real sweeping analogies and connections here to other things, like that people are looking for someone going to shoot a dog. And now I got to have gumbo. Why did you play that? Now I got to make gumbo. That's hard to cook, by the way.
Oh, you just mentioned one other incident of dogs in presidential politics. You may not remember this, but there was an uproar when LBJ all the way with LBJ grabbed his beagle by the ears and held up this beagle and just picked it up off the ground with ears. And people had a cow about that.
Yep. Yeah. No, I remember the story. I don't remember the incident. I wasn't around then, but yes, that's true. That was one. And you also have so many of these things like, was this a Whittington Terrier? What happened when Dick Cheney, the dog, we don't know. The dog could be like Harry Whittington, who apologized to Cheney for shooting him in the face. We just don't know that. And also, and I would also point out, when Cheney shot that guy, and I am very much for gun safety, and I don't know who goes and has two beers before they go out shooting, totally unacceptable hunting behavior. But, you know, they never compared that, speaking of shootings, to Adlai Stevenson, who was twice the Democratic candidate for president of the United States back in the 50s against Eisenhower. His father had been vice president for President Cleveland. And he shot a girl in a tragic accident when he was 12. And I said, yeah, nobody brings these kinds of things up. It's funny how it only cuts one way when we talk about her. I wrote a bunch of columns on President Biden for the New York Sun about his dog Major, and his dog before that, of course, was also aggressive. I'm all for people taking care of their dogs. I'm all for the discipline. I'm all for understanding how they have to be treated well and we should respect and love them. I just think there is something to be said here for when that moment comes that you decide, that life is cheap, much like human life is very cheap. To do it yourself reminds you that someone has to push that plunger down. And that's what struck me about this Christy Noem, is I think if more people knew, then maybe they'd hesitate about getting that dog instead of just saying, well, I do it behind closed doors, pay somebody else to put to sleep this beautiful animal I think that that would make the world a better place if more people thought that they had to take care of these things themselves.
Dean, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. You can find historyauthor.com. And, of course, we check in with Dean on history events here all the time. Dean, what a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Pleasure was all mine, sir.
All right. James Golden, Bo Snerdly with you. Kevin, you had a great idea what should happen with Christy. What should Christy do next?
In order to protect the brave men and women that protect our president, the Secret Service, send Christy Noem to the White House and take Biden's dogs out behind the shed. If there's a shed at the White House, I'm not totally sure.
There has to be. He always says he's going to beat up behind it, right? The little tough guy Biden
routine.
That's a
good point. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, 800-848-9222. Keep it right here. Don't go away.
The James Golden Show.